The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, to your point on the millennials, but you didn't say millennials, I did. But, you know, just a different generation of listening and viewing audiences for sports.
Mm-hmm.
The people that used to complain because of all the different signals that have teams on their airs and their flagships about the radio signal, is like it's diminished to like slim and none because people find alternate means. The thing that I think that major leagues like the NBA and Major League Baseball have to get with the program on is they still charge subscription prices if you want to listen to the games. So, for instance, if we were the home of, we'll just say, an MLB or an NBA team.
Okay.
You can catch us on the app, but the league itself states you are not allowed, if you're the team that does play-by-play of the games on radio, you would not be able to put those games on said stream. The people would be forced to go to MLB.com or NBA.com and subscribe and pay a price in order to be able to access the radio broadcasts and the feeds of the games. I think that's ludicrous in today's day and age. I know they're probably making money off of it, but come on, man. You're getting enough extra exposure for your sponsors just by being able to make sure everybody gets it, but make sure everybody can get it because that's a problem.
Yeah. It's just not the way the world works anymore, though. Unfortunately, it's stupid. It's like it's funny because the UFC kind of is doing the opposite. They used to do one pay-per-view a month and that was it. Mm-hmm. And now you can get two fights and there's tons of it. And it's almost this oversaturation of the product. And I think that these sports are kind of going the other way. They're like, well, this is another revenue stream. Everybody's hooked. Everyone loves the sport. So they're willing to pay for it. So I don't know. Somebody said that one of the texts we got when we were talking about the younger viewership, they said that some of the younger kids are going to sports bars, which I don't know if that's the case necessarily, that they're flocking to sports bars to watch it.
They follow Fred.
It might be, though, because, they don't want to pay for the stream or they don't want to pay
or
for...
Or they want to watch multiple events. Like, yeah. When I say Fred wants to watch the NHL on one screen. He wants to watch the playoffs on the other screen, maybe the Astros on a third screen, and at least you have multiple views. Nick, you were talking about that you were going to watch the MMA fights instead of pay-per-view at a bar where you could watch both as well. So maybe that's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the UFC fight, you had the Astros playing kind of side by side at the same time. I missed most of the Astros game only because I was paying more attention to the UFC fight. At some point, you have to pay attention to more screen.
Were again blowing someone out.
Yeah, well.
And by the way, just in, because we mentioned the fact Keuchel was pitcher of the month in April, McCullers got it in May, Correa was player of the month in May.
No shock there.
Justin, player of the week in the American League.
Altuve.
Springer dinger.
Oh, really?
George Springer.
Look at him. You know, there's the case to be made for him now as an all-star.
I was going to say, yeah.
And Altuve as well. His numbers, I was looking yesterday, he actually might get it as well because of reputation, along with the fact that his numbers are improved. He's now hitting in the 320s. When Jose Altuve is hitting 290 and not hitting for power, he's not not keeping up with Cano.
It's hard to say.
And you're going up against Castro, who's a Yankee.
Yeah,
that's going to be difficult to compete with those guys. But if he's hitting 320 on the best team in baseball, and he's scoring runs and stealing bases, he should.
I'll raise you one more.
Okay,
because it's another one we talked about. Correa, with as red hot as he has been,
he should clearly now be the starter.
Lindor, yes. And should be the starting shortstop.
So that's good to see, because that would be how horrible would that be to be the best team in baseball with no starters?
And you were the first one to mention it, and it's so true. I mean, how could you be the best team in baseball without one?
And now I think rightfully so, you could have three, and I would like to think that the manager would pick Marwin Gonzalez as a backup. If they, you know what I mean? If they pick, is it the managers or is it the?
It would be, I think it's the manager and the coaching staff would pick the reserves.
The reserves? Okay. Hopefully Marwin Gonzalez makes that team because he's playing at that level.
Because I think the commissioner makes injury replacement choices.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, the commissioner himself.
So Trout's going to be an injury replacement then.
Right.
Because he's probably still going to get enough votes.
But do you think that that's enough to put Marwin?
As a backup? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Go look at his numbers.
No, I mean, look, I know what kind of year he's been having, but I just think that managers are going to think like we thought, which was at the start of the year, this is a guy that's supposed to be a kind of a handyman that could play all these different positions, but not considered a true starter.
Yeah. Yeah, that might hurt him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just being a utility guy, but it's hard to argue with what he's doing.
Well, even his outs, he's making good, solid contact. I mean, he's sticking the ball, and they're great at bats. Like, he's fouling off multiple pitches and hanging in there. Even the other day, he got a handle job on a foul ball in his hand. He could barely keep his hand on the bat, yet he still, a couple pitches in, was still fouling off balls on the outside corner and staying alive. So, look, this team, and again, it's kind of what we go back to with what we said about the Rockets during what was a great regular season for them as well. But just jump on the bandwagon now and appreciate the hell out of what this team is doing, because everybody had question marks about the starting pitching and a couple other, you know, the lineup and the offense at the start of the year. There's nothing to question right now. Just get out there and support this team and watch them and have fun with them, because they're one hell of a fun team to watch.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Without question. Right, Nick?
Yeah.
How many games have you watched in the last 2 weeks?
I've only watched parts of games.
Yeah.
Like, I watched a part of the game on Saturday night only because I was at a sports bar. I went to one with you in Shock.
Yeah.
That was like a week ago.
You and I saw the A's.
The A's game. Yeah. I mean, I watch it every one. I can't watch it. I can't watch every game. I just can't.
You just don't like it that much?
No. I can't watch baseball every day. No way. No way.
A lot of people are like that, though. And that's all right.
For me, even if they're at home, I tend to watch it more on TV when they're at home than when they're on the road. For whatever reason, I tend not to watch it when they're on the road. I don't know why.
Well, Barry, I think you and I are both where we don't miss many games. But when you look at it and you talk about this team, the thing that really annoys me is on Twitter and the fans that I talk to are constantly expecting the letdown.
Well, listen, I am too.
Is that because you're a Houstonian?
Yes.
Okay.
A lifelong Houston sports fan is conditioned to expect the worst. When at the club this weekend, I was talking to the bartender, Jason. He's a huge Astros fan. He probably makes 40 games a year. And I told him, I was like, if they sweep this was on Friday. I said, if they sweep the Rangers, that's it. It's done. The Rangers aren't coming back from that. They'll be down 15 at the end of the weekend. They're not catching this Astros team. This Astros team is too good. That Rangers team needs help. Cole Hamels will come back. They'll get a little bit of help, but Cole Hamels isn't going to be enough to make a difference every fifth game. And he was like, dude, don't say that. Like, he was freaking out. He's like, I can't believe you're saying that. You're jinxing it. They're going to cough up this lead. I'm like, it's not going to happen. At some point, you gotta just be confident that you got the best team in baseball and be happy with it. But I get it, though. I totally understand it. But I said that going, you know, a Thursday or Friday on the show. I said, if they sweep them, it's done. The Rangers aren't catching them this year. This is over with.
And I agree with you. And I agreed then. I agree now. But now here's the interesting question for you.
Here's an interesting question.
Yes, here's an interesting question. Please dial in and focus. The question being, if you're the Texas Rangers, mm-hmm. do you help the Houston Astros?
Well, hell no, you don't. Why would you?
I'm saying from the standpoint of if you realize you're not going to catch him, or you realize in the case of Yu Darvish, you're going to lose him to free agency possibly. He's going to hit the market. You want to get something for him. The Astros are in the market for a starter. Would you consider trading one of your starters to your divisional rival if you are out of it before the All-Star break or trade deadline, and realize not only it's a twofold thing, your fan base is probably going to be pretty ticked off if you send, depending on what you get back, and even still, they're probably going to be pretty ticked off that, hey, we didn't get it done when we had the opportunity the last 4 or 5 years. Now we're going to help Houston do it?
Yeah, I don't. I doubt that happens.
Okay.
I just don't. I wouldn't see them doing that because that could have some long term ramifications as well. You know what I mean? They're not going to do that.
I just thought about it watching Darvish the other day too, and thinking, man, if you know they got Hamels, they got Darvish, they got some guys that one of those guys could fit into the Astros rotation as a 2-3 starter and be, hey, that's a pretty nice little slot for a guy with, you know, the resume that they have. But
yeah,
that would be interesting. That would actually be more salt in the wound than salty if you could do that and get the Rangers to participate.
Right.
All right, so we've got one in the books, two to go. Plenty more show as we roll in through hour number two. If you want to join in on NBA talk, MLB talk, and your Astros or something else, please feel free to do so. 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We interrupt the regularly scheduled broadcast to give you this update of very important information. The swan song and the farewell journey of the Monday Movie Moments with Trey is today. That would be the Big Lebowski. So,
yeah.
Carrot Top is making his
carrot
swan song.
Cake, as John Granato calls him affectionately, maybe.
What did Pete Rose? Pete Rose eventually, he started with Carrot Top or Carrot Cake, and then he just started calling him Carrot, I think.
I wasn't there. I didn't see him.
Yeah, that's what the guys were saying.
All right, hey, can we give something away?
Sure.
I would like to give something away. I know you guys do, too. I think we should give away an Uberito gift card worth $25. And if you win it, you're also going to be entered in the grand prize drawing for a trip to L.A. for Snowfall. So what are we doing? We're giving away a $25 gift card to Uberito. You're going to be entered in this grand prize drawing for the trip to Los Angeles. Snowfall's executive producer, John Singleton, wanted to be ready for the next FX original series. You and a guest will be flown to LA for a 4-day, 3-night trip to see the world premiere screening of Snowfall. Plus, with your round trip flights, you'll receive a $250 cash gift card, 3 nights hotel accommodations to attend the screening Monday night at the Ace Hotel with John Singleton and the cast. Plus, attend an interactive, immersive event on Sunday. So, I don't understand what this says. See how crack began. That's interesting. I want to see how crack began. And if you win this, you'll see how crack began when you see Snowfall. It premieres Wednesday, July 5th at 10 o'clock on FX. You can win your Uberito gift card and a chance to win tickets to the premiere of Snowfall. Be caller number 10, 713-780-3776.
I was going to say,
see how crack began. That's what Snowfall's about.
See, and I was going to say,
didn't know that.
We've seen how crack has progressed based on the copy that we have to read sometimes.
That was a struggle, I'm not going to lie. I wish I would have reviewed that more. Man, I think someone typed this with their feet and they got input from a horse. I deserve a gold star for getting through that without completely butchering it. That wasn't bad.
So you're saying that the Ivy League schools didn't come together?
Let me just tell you. Would you like me to read it how it was written? Because we're not going to do this part of the air check, just that one, right? This is, it says Uberito gift card, $25, and be entered in the grand prize drawing trip to LA for Snowfall. Then it says, win the gift card and be entered into the grand prize drawing for the trip to Los Angeles. Snowfall executive producer, John Singleton, wants to be you ready for the new original, the new FX original series. Yeah, it's an executive, not an executive, but a executive.
Oh, an executive.
An executive producer wants to be you ready. So, yeah, that was.
I'm going to give you nothing to read from now on.
I'm going to have to preview these. I'm going to need a 20-minute head start.
Well, you can practice with the text messages.
That was
would be great. So that's, you don't have to stop midstream in those.
Oh, boy, that was a struggle. Well, we got through it, though. Go team. Thanks for having my back. Nick's just over there going, what are you doing?
I think he was actually laughing while he was doing, what are you doing?
Yeah, thanks.
So let me pose this to you.
See how crack began. Okay. That was just out of nowhere in the copy. It just goes, see how crack began. Sorry. Go ahead.
Let me ask you, how would you like to be Derek Fisher today?
No.
Okay.
No.
Wouldn't want to be in the passenger seat with Derek Fisher driving.
Well, that was Matt Barnes' ex-wife that was in the passenger seat.
But, oh, was it?
But yeah. Before you go so quickly, why don't you ask me which Derek Fisher I'm talking about? Because How about the fact that Astros outfielding prospect Derek Fisher was selected Monday as the Pacific Coast League's Player of the Week? He's one of the best prospects to possibly be trade bait for one of those pitchers we've been talking about. He hit .435, 10 of 23, 3 homers, 2 doubles, 9 ribbies in 6 games last week. Former 37th overall draft pick. Came into Monday batting .338, 14 home runs.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is they were talking about him being found money, kind of like, hey, look how good he's doing. And they're like, well, we're having a hard time finding a spot for him on this team. And I get that. I do get that. I think there's, if they really needed him and wanted him to, they would find a spot. But what I think they're doing is they're letting him stay down in AAA and destroy AAA pitching.
Yep.
Because if he comes up here, he's going to be exposed by major league pitching and he loses value. So I think it's shrewd and smart to just let him sit in the minors and just kill minor league pitching if you're going to use him as trade bait. So, again, another smart thing that this Astros team is doing.
And isn't it amazing, too, how quickly some of the other guys have fallen off when you look at a guy like Preston Tucker that a couple of years ago was one of their top prospects that everybody thought this was the guy that event, it was just a matter of time. Now you don't even hear anything
about
him.
His brother's already better than
him. Yeah, his brother's better than him, and his brother's the guy that they want to be untouchable as much as they can to keep into their system. But he's just a forgotten man. And it's starting to be that Reed and White are getting to be that way, too.
Yeah.
You don't really hear – you used to hear about him every week or so, and now you don't hear about him at all.
Well, I think you heard about him because there was no answer at first base. I mean, you think about
– yeah.
Yeah. With Gurriel and Marwin Gonzalez,
right.
They're third and fourth options now at best. So I don't think you're going to hear about them. You know what I mean? That's,
right.
Yeah. But Fisher intrigues me. He, you know – I wouldn't mind seeing him in left field full time. You've got Aoki.
Right.
You know, you've got Beltran, who's really, he's DHing. He's not going to play right field and move Reddick to left or anything like that. You know, Springer in center, Reddick in right, Fisher in left would be pretty sweet. But you've got to deal, you've got left-handed pitching to deal with. That's why you see Reddick, you know, sit down sometimes. And Jake Marisnik has been playing okay. So he gets some spot starts in center and Aoki and... but yeah, it's a great problem to have when you're up here talking about, well, do we want one of the hottest hitters in minor league baseball to sit down there, or should they figure out how to get him up here? I like the idea of being able to use him as trade bait. Kyle Tucker will also be trade bait as well.
Yeah, he's a stick though. Yeah. And by the way, the other Derek Fisher that we alluded to, the former Laker that everyone loved to hate and the ex-coach of the Knicks, not as great of a week as the Derek Fisher we talked about with the Astros. He flipped his 2015 Cadillac Escalade with Gloria Govan in the passenger seat, the basketball wives star. I use that term loosely. But the ex-wife of Matt Barnes, who has already caused Barnes to go haywire and come after Fisher and try and beat the hell out of him. They found out he might have been indulging in cocktails, too, with a little DUI action after he flipped it. Thankfully, neither were hurt. And even more thankfully, they didn't hurt anybody else. But that saga continues. And strangely enough, Matt Barnes had no comment at all when asked about the situation.
I bet he didn't.
I bet he had one in his mind and in the locker room,
smiled.
But I bet he didn't have one for the press.
Yeah.
We got a call right now. Bill wants to get in here on a couple things. Bill, what's up?
Hey, how are y'all this afternoon?
Good, sir. How are you?
Doing well. When you were talking about the Astros and the arms, and I forget which one of y'all said, you know, they talked about starters were down, it's not been a concern. Yeah, the only problem is the concern is not in May and June. The concern is when you lose those starters and the impact in your bullpen is August. And the one thing we've learned in playoff baseball is the depth in the bullpen matters. And I think that's the critical thing they've got to look at. I mean, y'all were comparing them to the Cubs last year. I think lineup-wise, it's a better lineup than the Cubs. But remember, the difference the Cubs had last year was the Cubs were rolling out legitimately 5 starters last year. And they got career years out of those guys in a lot of cases, which is true. But when you're asking guys to roll out career innings, which right now on pace, you've got a couple of Astros to do it, that doesn't, history says, that doesn't bode well. Now, I don't believe this is a situation where the Astros have got to go all in, because I think they're building to the future, no doubt, when you look at that. But you also, there's been so many franchises that were closed and never got back. It would be a shame if they didn't go out and get a little more help in their staff to put them in a position where they can take advantage of, you know, this window. Just let them throw it out there and I'll let you go.
Yeah, no, you have a great point. And I said I wouldn't mind if they went out and added another, you know, arm, an ace or a second. And I've said for a month now, if Tony Sipp is not your left-handed specialist, mm-hmm. he shouldn't be. They need to add another left-handed arm. When I talked about Cole, I talked about getting the closer from the Pirates at the same time as a package deal. So I still think that's the move to make. But if they don't, I think this team is okay. They have a good enough staff. And I'll just say, you're talking about the bullpen getting taxed later on. They're not even in the top 10 in innings pitch, this staff. So they're also quality starts. They're tied for ninth. So their starters are giving them good starts.
And think about it. They're being proactive with their starters early in the season to prevent that late in the season. If there's any even minor issue with the starter, Keuchel and a little bit of an issue with a pinched nerve sleeping the wrong way on his neck, let's sit him down. Charlie Morton, let's sit him down. Musgrove, let's sit him down. Because the more you rest them now, the more they'll be ready when they come back, when you really need them, to your point, Bill. So it's a good one. Also, when you talk about the attention the national media are giving the Astros, one of the things they're noticing now that was kind of a good secret before, a guy like Feliz, who they said isn't a normal, regular guy coming out of the pen. He's used sporadically, but when you look at his arm, look what his velocity, and look what he's capable of doing, this is a guy that the rest of the major leagues, in terms from a scouting perspective, look at and go, that dude is really impressive.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there because you've got Davinsky and you've got other arms that you've been using, including Hoyt, who did a nice job yesterday.
There was an article that we're talking about that. I saw that this morning, and it's exactly right. I mean, you've got a guy in Feliz who is mop-up duty guy.
Yeah.
Who would be another team's Davinsky in a lot of situations. So that's why I say, I mean, they always have the option of starting Davinsky. Could you imagine in the playoffs if they did that? I mean, that's just, so they're fine. Yeah. If they don't make a move, the Astros are fine. Would I like them and should they? Sure.
Totally agree.
But if they can't because the price is too much and you don't want to mortgage the future, I'll take my chances.
That's what I would say, too. To Bill's point, yeah, you can sit there and say they're a young team, but there's only so many times you get a chance to be in the position that the Astros are in now, and you got to maximize it. If you got a chance to go for it all, you got to go for it all, too. You don't want to mortgage the farm, but if you can make a move that makes you better without giving up too much, you got to do it because there's only so many chances you get to really go for the whole thing. Right now, I want to tell you guys about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Mattress Mac is my man, and he has always been there for me and my family in terms of our house and our furniture needs, because he has solid wood American-made furniture, furniture that's going to last, great customer service and salespeople that take care of your needs your way. He delivers on every promise he makes, and he delivers the same day when you order furniture, and the service after the sale is as good as the service it was to get you to make the sale in the first place. Three locations in the Houston area: Galleria, Post Oak at Westheimer, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, and the mainstay I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where you can get solid wood, American-made living room and dining room furniture, custom-made and upholstered furniture for your man cave or your movie room, and of course, all those sleep sets, Tempur-Pedic, Macapedic, and otherwise. And if you buy $3,000 worth of bedroom furniture and the Astros win it all, you end up getting all your furniture free at the end of the year. So all the deals are there and a whole lot more. So go see my man Mattress Mac, and like he says, buy today, get it tonight, and absolutely Gallery Furniture will save you money.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, if you're in the market for new tires, I want you to do me a favor and check out Nexen Tire. They have the leading warranty in the tire industry, exclusive free roadside assistance. If you get a flat tire, they'll come out and change your tire for you, or they'll tow your vehicle for free. So check out Nexen. It's the fastest growing tire brand trusted by automotive manufacturers. Check out Nexen Tire on the web to learn more at nexentire.com.
Let's all go to the movies. And action.
The Usual Suspects present Monday Movie Moments with Trey.
King Kong ain't got sh** on me.
Funny like I'm a clown? I amuse you?
Then the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir.
You call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch?
All right, guys, it's that time. Sad day for the Usual Suspects. It's the last ever Monday Movie Moments with Trey. And we go out doing one that Trey requested for himself. It's his favorite movie. It's The Big Lebowski. It's his favorite scene from his favorite movie. So if it sucks, this is all on Trey is what I'm saying. But this is it. This is the last one. This is Trey doing The Big Lebowski for our final Monday Movie Moments with Trey.
Man, if my f***ing ex-wife asked me to take care of her f***ing dog while she and her boyfriend went to Honolulu, I'd tell her to go f*** herself. Why can't you board it?
First of all, dude, you don't have an ex. Secondly, it's a f***ing show dog with f***ing papers. You can't board it. It gets upset. Its hair falls out. F***ing dog has papers, dude.
Over the line!
Huh?
Over the line, Smokey! I'm sorry, that's a foul.
Bullshit. Market 8.
Excuse me, market 0, next frame.
Bullshit. Walter? Market 8, dude.
This is not NAM. This is bowling. There are rules.
Hey, Walter, come on. It's just, hey, man, it's Smokey. So his toe slipped over a little, you know? It's just a game, man.
This is a league game. This determines who enters the next round robin. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I was...
Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't over. Give me the marker, dude. I'm marking an 8.
Smokey, my friend, you're entering a world of pain.
Walter, man.
Mark that frame at 8. You're entering a world of pain.
I'm
a world of pain!
Look, dude, this is your partner.
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? Market 0!
They're calling the cops, man. Put the piece away.
Market 0!
Walter, put the piece away.
Walter?
You think I'm shit around here? Market 0!
All right, it's 0. You happy, you crazy?
The league game, Smokey!
Not bad, my friend. Not bad.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I like it. He did good. He didn't even have to be an angry black man, just an angry guy. And that was his favorite scene, so good for him.
I was a little leery.
Okay.
Because he wasn't doing an angry black man, that we were going to go out and it was going to be less than stellar.
No.
But he carried it.
He did just fine.
Yeah.
Now, as always, it wasn't so smooth. He's not one take Jake like me. Like, I nail everything. Like that giveaway earlier, nailed it. Next entire, nailed it. Not Trey, though. Not Trey.
Nailed it. They're trying to get a nail in with a sponge.
There were some outtakes, and please enjoy those now.
All right, now this is The Big Lebowski. You've seen this scene
yes,
a million times.
So you a million know exactly times.
It's not an angry black man.
I think I can manage.
Okay, there's got to be an overweight angry white guy.
I'm already that. It gets upset. Its hair falls out. F***ing dumb. Damn it! Why do I keep trying to be? You should. I don't know.
You wanted to say something very mean, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Say it. Let it out. You'll feel better.
I forgot what I was gonna say.
You're a
damn liar. Excuse me? Market 0, next frame. That's not... This is the... Damn it.
It's all right. Just pick up where you left off. Pick up where he said, excuse me, market 0, next frame.
Okay.
Do that.
Excuse me, market 0, next frame.
Do it again, because I was talking when you started.
Okay.
Count to like 3, 2. Give yourself...
3, 2, 1.
No, you don't say 1. 3, oh. 2. Give yourself a beat and then do it, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to teach this kid
Excuse
radio.
Excuse me. Market 0. Next frame.
Count, Trey.
Damn it.
3, 2, beat, and then go. I just said that.
Yeah, but I'm not Raheel. I don't go off like a count. I just get into it.
No, you don't. You go 3, 2 because it makes Michael Carroll's job easier. Why are you making this hard on him?
Good point. Sorry, MC.
It's okay. All right. Go.
I call him MC Ultra.
Why?
You know, like the drug MK Ultra, like they gave him the... It's a long story.
And okay. If you gotta explain it...
Excuse me, Mark...
You didn't count, damn it! How did we just had the talk of counting, okay. And you didn't count?
3, 2...
Mark that frame at 8. You're entering a world of pain. A world of pain! A manager in a bowling shirt style uniform is running for a phone! Oh, f- damn it. That's not... That's the dude's line.
That's the actual call-up. That's the action. Here, let me... F- damn it. Here. Why did I highlight that, too?
I don't know.
So just start at the...
What a nice day it is outside.
Yes. Start it has the whole world gone crazy.
Good day to play baseball.
Start it has the whole world gone
crazy. Has the whole world gone crazy?
Help, Trey! Help.
Please don't yell at me. Please don't yell at me.
You're bringing out my angry black man.
Oh, I thought you were already black.
All right. Good job, brother.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Nick. Him.
What? So I don't know, Nick.
Thanks, MC. I'll see you around.
Good job, dude.
MC Ultra.
MC Ultra.
Trey's a f***ing weirdo.
You're a weirdo.
Oh, I'm telling God. You, man. People sleep on that kid's intelligence.
Well.
He's sneaky.
Yeah, he is. But he couldn't count down. He didn't get that concept, obviously.
You know my theory.
I'm trying to teach him how to be a professional radio guy.
What have you ever heard never say the one?
I was just messing
always,
with
you
him,
always
Joel.
Say the one and then pause, which no, I don't yeah, think he'd be do. Able to figure out from a timing
you just yell at me.
You just go 3, 2, and then you start. You don't say the one.
Oh, we've always no. We were always trained. You say the one, but you pause.
Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
but he was.
But neither one he would have figured out, no, which he proved.
He would have not gotten either of them. I mean, you sat through that one, Nick. Do you remember all that?
I don't know. Did I sit through the?
Yeah, you were on the damn thing.
You were in there.
Did you not hear your own voice?
Yeah, I heard did it. Not. I don't remember being in that one. I thought you just recorded it. Honestly,
it's all the weed messing with your memory.
Maybe, I heard but you I'm the just entire saying. Time.
You literally just did not hear your own voice there.
I did not.
Is that, oh my God.
I was paying attention, wow. I swear.
You just proved to our
I know you were
audience.
Listening and laughing, but how did you not recognize that you were on this, well, on Trey, these outtakes? You were in the room the whole time we recorded
the
this.
Funny part about this audio is you and Trey, not me. I'm not listening for me. I didn't hear myself.
The funny part is Trey, and the most frustrating part is Trey. It makes it's funny and angering at the same time.
Part of the beauty of Trey, besides what he provides from an audio perspective,
it's a nice day outside. What?
Yeah, frustration and then the reaction that he gets out of people when he just does his thing.
Good times. Well, that was it. That's the last one.
That's going out on a bit. But are we possibly throwing one back in the rotation or no?
We might revisit them on occasion. You know what I mean? Like play the greatest hits.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, maybe we'll go back and play the first one we ever did from, what was it, Training Day?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that one again or something like that. But, yeah, I just don't have the time or the patience to spend another 3 hours in the studio locked up with Trey while he tries to read lines and count backwards from 3.
I'm just saying.
What was it with the MC Ultra thing again?
I have no idea. That's the thing. There's like it's this MK Ultra.
MK, yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? He's so randomly weird and funny at the same time. You just got to roll with it. I'm just like, okay, whatever. You kind of get used to it after a while. That's the sad part is it kind of stops being funny after a while because you get so used to it.
He's you know really what I mean? Good
See,
about
it
addressing
it stops being funny
me.
For you, but then it never ceases to amaze me how funny it is when it actually is done and then how the listeners respond to it too. That's why I think we're making a big mistake by getting rid of it, but I do understand and sympathize with the Whoa. Fact that you have to spend the 3 hours in the studio with
Barry does like 90%. It was like Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll does a lot of the work, but Michael Carroll won't do anything unless I'm in the studio. He won't like, he's like, no, you have to direct this kid and you got to get
Which
all the...
Which makes total sense because I wouldn't do it either. I'd make you direct it too. Yeah.
So I'm just like, no, I want to go home at 4 o'clock and yeah, no.
Michael, could you maybe motivate we'll me by more. Playing Oasis while I work on my lines? If you play Oasis, I'll do them faster. 1, 2, 3, 2. Never mind.
He is one of the best about addressing awkward moments. Like he was in studio before the show, and he's like, he really wanted to say something. He didn't want it to be quiet. He's like, Nick, I don't know what to say. I'm like, you don't have to say anything, bro. You're just standing in here. You don't have to say anything. It's all good.
Okay. Well, I guess I just did say something. Like, that's a typical conversation.
Really,
with Trey.
Really, you walked in and he felt like it was an awkward moment, but instead of keeping quiet, he talked about it.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah. He addresses the awkward moment, for
he
sure.
He does, which is awesome. It's part of his genius, though. It really is.
I spoke to you earlier, but I'm going to speak to you again because I said hello, Joel.
Somebody texted the show and said MK Ultra is a conspiracy theory where famous artists are brainwashed. That would explain everything. Trey, ooh, famous artists brainwashed, conspiracy theory.
Boom, drop the mic if it wasn't an honest
done
and walk away. That's what we're doing right now. All right, so the Monday movie moments with Trey
rest
is behind
peace
us. Yes, it is in the rearview mirror, but there is a windshield full of opportunity. We're heading down that road next, right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay, that's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects. Boy, Robert Ory right now is on the jump with Rachel Nichols, ESPN, and others. That's the worst sport jacket I've seen. I don't care if you're trying to be fashionably outlandish or whatever. And I'm trying to see what's on it. It almost looks like a pajama top made into a sport coat on Robert Ory. And it almost, Nick, I can't see it from this far away where the monitors are, but it looks like it's white with a black kind of piping trim. But it looks like it has
a hint of pink.
It's pink, not white.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know
and
if it's my TV.
It's got polka dots on it.
Well, they're not polka dots. They look like slabs of cheese, like cheddar head cheese. I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is.
I'm waiting for a close-up on Ory.
But oh, by the way, remember how I said earlier in the broadcast about the fact that Tony Brothers was the official and some of the NBA players had things to say? Well, Evan Turner went out and said, Tony Brothers is officiating tonight. This should be an interesting game, LOL. And the NBA must have said something to him because he later tweeted out, my account's been hacked.
I wonder how far you can take that excuse. Like, tweet out
right?
something like, oh, my Twitter was hacked. It was totally not me.
Tony Brothers has long been a, let's just say, thorn in the side of not only the Rockets, but it started with one Yao Ming. And there were, let's just say that he might have been reprimanded for the fact that he might have admitted that he might have been a little less than, shall we say, he might have been a little biased against certain people when making certain calls at certain times in certain games.
What?
He admitted? Kind of? Indirectly?
Kind of. Indirectly, yeah.
One point I wanted to make. Earlier, we had the caller talking, because he has a valid point about bullpens being, you know, later in the
Astros,
year being
right.
overtaxed. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to point out that, because I looked it up, because I said the Astros weren't even in the top 10 in innings pitched. They have since moved in, like, they're seventh. They're tied for seventh with three other teams. So they're top 10 technically. Right. But, like, 13th is, like, three innings behind. So it's not like there's just this enormous separation between being seventh and 13th. Mm-hmm. But the innings pitched by the bullpen, they're 16th. So they're not even in the top 15 of innings pitched by their bullpen. So their bullpen's not being overworked at this point.
And let me put your mind at ease.
Okay,
because tonight, you will not have to worry about that one bit. Tonight, your bullpen probably won't have to worry about any innings pitched because their starter is going to take them through a fantastic nine innings.
Who's that? Who's starting?
Oh, your boy Mike Fires.
Ah, damn it. Now they're going to be overtaxed.
Those numbers will change drastically tonight, kids.
Yeah, they'll probably be top 10 now. If you added nine innings to that bullpen, if he can get out of the first.
You ever started a gas grill?
Yeah.
You get the gas going, and then a minute that light goes.
Here's an interesting statistic. Are you a war guy?
You are.
I know, but are you?
It was a great card game when I was a kid.
Wins above what? A card game?
Card game, yeah. I put my card down, you put your card down, whoever had a higher card wins.
Did you ever play Slapjack? Do you remember that game?
No.
Have you ever heard of Slapjack?
I played Slapjack and War. I played
War.
War
isn't in
I never really
casinos.
Played War.
You can play War in casinos.
Yeah, but I played Slapjack a lot. I didn't know if that was just a Southern thing.
Was that while looking at porn, or you did
war.
That with cards?
Yeah, I was 8. slapping Jack.
Hey, you never know, man. Some people become dads at 12.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't say I used to play it with my sister before you made that joke.
Still has some of the effect, but okay, yeah.
Okay, so if you are a wins above replacement guy, which I think most statistical people feel like that's a good representation of overall value, whether it be a pitcher, a catcher, or whatever, right? So the best bullpen in the major leagues this year is the Dodgers with a 4.1 WAR. The Astros and Indians are tied for second at 3.6. So not only is your bullpen in the middle of the pack on innings pitched, it's one of the two or three best bullpens in the majors.
And to solidify how accurate a stat that is,
yeah,
take a look at where those three teams rank.
Dodgers, Astros, and Indians.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, I'll stop being a nerdy statistics guy, but I just wanted to say,
that's the first time one of your stats actually had an impact on me.
Did it? That's not true.
It did, but it's not true. But, you've had more. But this team,
I'm trying to reinforce the point that if this team doesn't get help, they're fine. I mean, now, between now and the end of the year, this team could fall apart. Absolutely, mm-hmm. It could.
But it hasn't happened.
But if they're playing like they're playing now,
when you start taking the benchmarks of quarter of a season, half season, and the Astros
they're a
are
third
still
of the way.
Yeah, that when you get to those points and there's those benchmarks and they're still where they are now, if they're still where they are now, you're going to make the playoffs.
Because what, the season is 6 months?
Isn't that crazy? But yeah, 162 games.
So 6 months long, and they're a third of the way through.
Mm-hmm. And that's just months-wise. When you look at the games played,
but you could roughly say.
I mean, look, and we've said it on the show before, of all the teams that have had the best record in baseball at the quarter mark, at the one-third mark, only one has not made the playoffs in the last, I think, 10 years or more. So you're in a good position. But to say that they're not, I'm sure Jeff Luhnow, even though he is in Cabo right now, but still doing.
Good for him. Everyone needs a break.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, it's not like you're going to Broadway shows before the trade deadline and taking pictures, shaking hands with actors instead of looking.
He did his job.
Yeah, that's Daryl Morey. I'm sorry.
It's up to AJ Hinch now.
He's done a fantastic job. But let's be honest.
Remember that time someone got upset with AJ Hinch?
Yeah. But I'm just saying.
Best record in
baseball.
Don't
think that Luhnow still isn't monitoring everything and knows that, look, there's a starting pitcher and probably a left-handed reliever on his radar that if the price is right, and he'll continue to monitor up and down what that price is going to be, because with an addition like that, could put you over the top.
Yeah.
So that'll be real interesting to follow because, again, now they open up a series against the Kansas City team that whether you go back into the playoffs in the one that got away, but earlier this year, of those 16 losses, the Royals were responsible for two that the Astros seemed to be in control of and let slip away here in Houston. So now you got a four-game spot in Kansas City against a team that's not nearly what they were a couple years ago. You got to take advantage of that, even though you're going to see the bottom half of your rotation.
At least it's not the Rangers series.
Yeah, so
that's the good news.
It's stacked up well for you by having McCullers and Dallas.
Yeah,
Keuchel go against the Rangers, and then getting another great performance out of Peacock. Who'd have thought Peacock's 3-0?
Yeah, and the work he did in the bullpen led to that. Yeah. Matt on text wanted to know. He says, "I'm not a big baseball guy, but love what the Astros are doing. I hear you guys talking trade deadline and what they need to do. It seems like you've been talking about it for a while. When is the deadline? July 31st is the trade deadline." So
and you're still not completely out of contention for getting somebody after that.
They just have to clear waivers
first. Yeah, then you get the waiver claim. So you can still make a trade after a guy clears waivers. So there's two deadlines to watch, but still down the road quite a ways. But again, I would say Jeff Luhnow and his staff are still kicking the tires, watching the stats, and getting ready to see who's out there and who might be available because, again, your team is in a great position and you should be really happy with your Houston Astros. All right, so that'll be hour number two in the books when we return from this commercial break. So when we come back, we got 1 hour left to go on the show. If you've got something on your mind, please feel free to join us. 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line where you can call and text, or you can hit us up on Twitter with the usual suspects. And, of course, this is ESPN 97.5 FM.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5.
All right, then.
KFNC.
Are you ready for this?
Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Let's do this.